Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Killer Cast. Okay, everyone, so I'm back today with Piper.
Hello.
You doing well today, Piper?
I'm doing so good. We're getting ready to move.
Yes, we are getting ready to move. And that's why I've been slacking.
Yes, that's okay.
On the podcast.
Because we'll get to the new place and it'll be fine.
Yep. So I got some really good feedback from the last episode with Piper. So she's here with me again today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that I invited her back earlier and she got all offended because she says, I live with you. You didn't invite me.
Literally, I live in here. This podcast is the luxuries of Skylar's room.
Yes, that's very true. We don't have a very high budget, okay?
We use our home.
So, yes, I'm in the process of moving. So, I've been, like, packing, trying to get shit taken care of and ready so I can get all into the new place and settled in and just, like, get the whole process finished. Yes. You know, it's a shitty process. Moving sucks.
Yeah, it's a long process.
And it's a lot of work. So,
a lot of work.
You know, I haven't had very much time to, like, do, like, really extensive research. So I figured what better to do this time than a ghost story from the town I grew up in. It's something I already know. I've heard it a million times. Lots of people from my area know the story. So I think it'll be fun to, like, tell it and maybe other people can hear about it, too. Mm-hmm. And maybe find it interesting. I think everybody from my area knows at least, like, one or two ghost stories from the area.
Something about it.
Or more, like, most likely more. I mean, it's fucking Ohio. Yeah, Ohio definitely has, like, so many ghost stories.
Seriously.
So it'll be a nice quick little episode while I'm moving, and then we can get back to, like, the real true crime shit. Like,
the nitty gritty.
You know, the nitty.
The nitty gritty,
one might say, whenever I am settled into the new place. So without further damn do, let's get into the story of Esther Hale. And I do want to give a quick disclaimer. This is a ghost story. None of this is, like, based on
true facts.
Like,
this can go so many ways.
Yeah.
So many times it's been told.
There's so many different ways that you will hear the story told, especially, like, around my hometown.
Yeah.
So if you've heard a different version of it, just mind your P's and Q's, buddy. No, I'm just kidding.
This is a well-known story.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. You can
tell
the story that you know and like, a comment or something, or message it to me on Instagram. I don't know. It'll be fun. So, our story starts in the community of Sprucevale on August 12th, 1837, with our lovely bride-to-be Esther, Miss Esther Hale. She was getting all dressed up and ready in her wedding gown for the biggest day of her life. She was super happy to be marrying the love of her life, and she couldn't wait. Her wedding was to begin at 10 a.m., and she already had her home all done up. She had vines on the tables. She had the cake out. I guess there was, like, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even know what this is. It's called a cheesecloth.
I don't know what it is.
But it's, I probably sound really stupid not knowing what that is, but I guess it was, like, covering the cake. So,
okay,
to keep the, like, flies off and stuff. I don't know. But there was a cheesecloth on that cake.
She had the fancy setup.
Yes. Don't even forget about the cheesecloth because it
don't
was there.
Even. It was there.
So 10 a.m. rolls around and the guests start to arrive, and soon everyone is there. Everyone.
But one.
Who is that?
Who is it, Skylar? I'm pretty sure I know, but just to enlighten you or someone, or maybe I think. Who do you think it is?
No, you go first.
Really? Me?
Yes.
I think it's the groom.
Oh, you would be so right if you said the groom, Piper. You know, it's always the groom. The damn
it's
groom.
The damn groom.
You know?
Men.
I swear. So, yeah, 10 rolls around. Groom is not there. So the guests are all there. Esther's kind of like, okay, what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
what's happening?
What's
this
the deal
is my
here?
Wedding.
And so she waits and waits and waits and waits. And then 10:30 rolls around. It's been 30 minutes since the wedding started. People are starting to, like, get a little finicky. They don't really want to be sitting there all day. Like, they're just waiting. They're wondering where he is. And at around 12:30, 2.5 hours after her wedding was supposed to start, everyone decides, sorry, Esther, we have to leave.
We have to leave now.
Like, I hate to tell you, but your groom is not showing up.
Yeah.
Asshole, by the way.
Yeah, but I feel like, wouldn't you notice if something was up, if he would just not show up to the wedding? I feel like you would have some signs leading up to that.
I don't know. I feel like this is like a story you hear all the time, like, about, like, ghost stories, like a vengeful bride who is left at the altar. Like, it seems like maybe they just get cold feet and leave randomly, you know?
Oh, yeah. Definitely a story about cold feet and just getting up and leaving.
Yeah, absolutely. So, for one reason or another, Grimm never showed up. When everyone left, Esther sent a messenger to her man's house, and the messenger goes to try and find him. When he returns, he said that he went to his cabin and nothing was to be found. His cabin was completely empty and the ashes on the stove were cold. So Esther was, like, clearly pretty upset about this. Yeah. Like, her whole man's just went missing on their wedding day. Like, she was not happy. All she could do was cry. Her friends tried to help her to bed, thinking that maybe if she got some rest, she'd feel a little better, or at least she could change her clothes and relax, but she told them no. So they just helped her over to sit by, like, a window. It was, like, kind of like a window just to, like, just to sit there. And she asked them to leave and close the curtains. From that point on, Esther had completely secluded herself from the entire world. She would move around the house from time to time and people would see her through the windows, but she would never get out of her wedding dress and she did not let people in. And it went on like this for, like, the whole rest of the summer.
That's crazy.
About 4 months later in December, a neighbor happened to look out and saw that Esther's front door started swinging open and shut. Mm-hmm. So obviously they're like,
what is she doing?
Esther, girl,
get your
are
door.
You okay? Like, what's happening? Your door is just swinging open in a snowstorm.
Yeah.
It is cold as shit out.
And
it is the 1830s.
Leave.
We do not have the luxury to leave our doors open in the winter and not die. So they called the police and reported it, and the police went to go check on her. When they pulled up to the house, they noticed that the snow was piling in and, like, kind of swooping itself into her house, and the whole house was, like, completely dusted in snow. So the police looked over and they saw Esther with her veil down in front of her face, slumped over the windowsill. When they pulled back the veil, it was not a pretty sight.
She was dead.
She
so dead.
Like, she was very dead. And they were, like, petrified.
Yeah.
So they realized this was not just Esther mourning and sad. This was her corpse, and she had died actually weeks before they found her. They covered her face back up with her veil, and she ended up being buried in her wedding dress.
Which now, she would probably have wanted.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine that would be hard to go through.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially, like, if he just went up and, like, if he was missing. Like, maybe it wasn't even because he got cold feet. Maybe something happened.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
But, like, it still would be sad either way. And, like, I don't know, man. I don't know how I would feel.
Yeah.
I would be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, definitely.
I would have, like, a vengeance. I'd be like, you're going to leave me at the altar? Mm-hmm. Okay, bitch.
Like, see what
not
happens
me.
Next.
I am not the one for that.
Not the
but
one.
Poor Esther. I feel for her.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the scary part.
Okay.
And I can say that I've been reckless enough to try this before. So people say when you drive over a nearby bridge on August 12th, you will see Esther dressed in her wedding gown, decomposed and terrifying. The story goes that if she touches you, she will become young and beautiful again and you will die. So there, like I said, there's different versions to this. So what I grew up knowing and, like, the hood rat shit that I was doing, like the stupid kid shit that I was doing, was basically, like, so there's this old bridge. Mm-hmm. And it's been, like, redone since.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the same bridge from back then anymore, but it used to be. Mm-hmm. And whenever it was, a bunch of, like, kids that were my age at the time, we would always go there, and you were supposed to stop on the bridge and, like, flash your headlights 3 times or something like that. Like, turn your engine off. And whenever you turn it back on, she was supposed to appear in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did do that a couple times. She never appeared in front of me, but I don't think I ever did it on August 12th. And I don't plan to because I'm scared of Esther.
I would be scared of Esther, too. She has a lot of built-up emotion.
Yeah. But now the bridge is, like, not nearly as scary. It's definitely like, it's not. Just it's got, like, new. Redone. It doesn't even look like a bridge anymore. It looks, like, kind of like an overpass.
It looks like a piece of concrete.
Yeah. Just that's right literally there. What it looks like. It used to be, like, this old rickety metal thing. But yeah, that's the story of Esther Hale, how I know it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there's a lot of different ways that people tell the story. Some people say that she like hung herself in the old mill. Some people say that, you know, like what I said, like she just ended up dying from a broken heart.
So what's that building right by the bridge?
See, that I think I want to say that that's like the old mill.
That they say, like, certain stories say that she hung herself
in. Yeah. Some people say that it was her house. Let me actually look that up.
Because I've heard so many stories of people, like, going in there and it was actually, like, really scary, got super bad vibes, mm-hmm. bad energy and stuff like that. But it's all boarded up and you're not supposed to go in there.
I'll say I may or may have not been in there.
For confidential reasons.
For legal reasons, I was never in there, but I was in there.
She might have.
Okay, guys, so I actually just looked it up to be certain, and the little building that Piper's talking about, it is, in fact, an old mill. It's called the Hambleton Mill. You can look it up. It's in Beaver Creek. It is pretty scary to drive past at night. Mm-hmm. I do it just, we go on drives past that
all
house
the time just for fun. Like,
for fun sometimes, just to get the adrenaline pumping. But yeah, it's a pretty good story. And I know it was short, but there's like a bunch of other stories from Beaver Creek that I want to do. Like, you know, there's like a lot that happened
there.
For
some reason.
Like, I'm not sure if the Esther Hale story, like if the, what is it called? The Hambleton Mill. Yeah. I'm not sure if that's actually like Beaver Creek's property. I think it is, but it might be right outside the park.
Yeah. But you can go there, visit it, like look around.
Obviously the most popular story from Beaver Creek is Gretchen's Lock.
Yes.
Which I do want to talk about, but there's also Jake's Lock, and there's a story about little David who was like a young kid who was caught stealing from, I think, like the blacksmith or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty Boy Floyd was shot right up the road from the Hambleton Mill. There's like a lot of history.
There's so much
surrounding Beaver Creek. And I think it's really cool to tell the stories that I grew up hearing and be able to share them with whoever listens to the podcast.
Yeah. So. 'Cause these were the ghost stories that we got.
Yeah.
So, and they were just like, oh my gosh, this happened here. Like, we could take you here. We can drive passes. Loved that.
Yeah, it's super cool. And I mean, obviously, like, I tell Piper and Kiernan, like, the fun ghost stories. And I hope that, like, the people that are my age will, like, tell their kids too.
Yes.
And just, like, keep it living on, because there's something, like, there's just something so nostalgic really cool. about hearing all the old ghost stories and stuff.
Like,
you know?
On, like, the ground that you're on.
Yeah.
Super cool.
Like, you can stand there and be like, in 1837,
this happened
Esther
here.
Hale was going through a tough time right around here.
Definitely. Or going to Gretchen's Lock and being like, this little girl went through this much.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Gretchen's Lock. That is a crazy one. Yeah. But okay, everyone, that's all I really have for today. Like I said, I know it's like a super short episode, but I have to get this packing done.
And short and sweet for you today.
I'm going to be coming back twice as hard though next week. We're going to have a two-part episode. I'll post both parts at the same time, but I want to try to like keep them in 30-minute increments so that like if you're driving to work or school or wherever you're going
to it.
You can listen to one part and not have to like pause halfway through. So I'll post the episodes in two parts, And so you'll have like an hour worth of listening next week, and it'll be great. I promise. I'll make it up to you guys. I'm doing my best. But I'll be all settled in. I move this week, like in just a couple days. So everything will be great. But okay, everyone, thanks for listening. And that is all I have for you. Yes, say goodbye, come back, Piper. For more.
Oh, bye. Thank you for having me in your own house that I live in.
Bye.
Bye.